Okay, so like, can Japan actually win the AI race? You know, they kind of missed the boat on that whole digital thing, right?
Right.
But lately, there's like all this buzz, and we're
Yeah.
going deep today, checking out this press conference by Professor Yutaka Matsuo. He's a leading Japanese AI expert
Okay.
to see if this hype is actually like real or what.
It is fascinating actually to see how things have kind of shifted, you know. For years the narrative was like Japan was just playing catch up, right? And now with AI it seems like they're right there, like on the front lines. Professor Matsuo, he definitely makes a pretty good case for Japan's potential, that's for sure.
He starts off throwing out some pretty impressive examples right off the bat.
Oh yeah.
He was talking about DeepSeek. It's this Japanese AI model, and it can solve those really complex math problems, like university level stuff. Like most of us would be sweating bullets, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And this thing can solve them in minutes. Yeah, and he even showed like a video of it cracking a Tokyo University entrance exam
Oh,
problem.
wait.
7 minutes.
7 minutes. Wow, that's incredible.
It is pretty wild.
And it's not just about the speed either, right?
Right.
What's so impressive is the accuracy. Like, this thing is getting the answers right almost as well as like a top student would. That kind of accuracy, that's when you realize, okay, this isn't just some, you know, gimmick. This is real power.
It's the real deal.
Yeah.
And then he brings up deep research. It's another model.
Okay.
And this one is it's making some serious waves.
I've heard of this one.
Apparently, it can do like high-level research tasks way faster than any human, obviously.
Oh, really?
Like we're talking 10 minutes versus weeks or even months for, you know, a team of humans to do the same thing.
Wow, that's
It's a whole different ball game.
yeah, it really points to this huge shift in like how we even approach knowledge and discovery. You imagine, like, what if research could just be accelerated like that much faster?
It's mind-blowing.
It's crazy.
And then Matsuo just drops this I don't know, this bombshell prediction
Oh, yeah.
from the SoftBank CEO, Masayoshi Son.
Okay, yeah.
He predicts AI will surpass human intelligence within
Okay.
a decade.
Within a decade. Wow, that's.
Yeah, and this is from a guy who's pouring $500 billion into AI just in the US, like just the
I
US.
mean, that investment alone kind of shows you like how much is at stake here.
Absolutely.
Like whoever unlocks the true potential of AI, you know, they could reshape the entire global economy. It's like the space race, but for, you know, for the future of thinking itself, it's pretty crazy.
So we've got this incredible potential. But what about Japan specifically, right? Like,
Yeah.
where did they fit into all this?
And Matsuo, he argues that Japan is actually in a prime position to win.
Yeah, he points to this huge surge in investments in Japan, data centers specifically.
Data centers, huh?
Yeah, like all the big names, AWS, Microsoft, Google, they're all pouring money into building, infrastructure there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's not just about finding like cheap land or something.
Right.
It tells you that these companies, they see Japan as a future hub for AI, you know?
Yeah.
Not just a market to like sell their stuff.
Totally. They're actually investing in the development there.
Exactly.
That's huge.
Yeah, and it's not just the big tech companies either.
No.
We're seeing a growing ecosystem like startups
Okay.
and all kinds of international players. They're
Excellent.
all setting up shop in Japan, so there's like a real sense of momentum
It's
building.
like everyone suddenly realized that Japan, despite, you know, their digital setbacks in the past, they've got a lot of the key ingredients, right? For AI success, I mean, technological infrastructure, a really highly educated workforce, and a culture that really values precision and innovation.
Absolutely. And even like the big names in AI, like Sam Altman from OpenAI, Mark Zuckerberg, a bunch of CEOs from Microsoft and Google,
Oh, wow.
they've all been making these like high-profile visits to Japan lately.
So it's like Japan's the new Silicon Valley for AI or something.
It's starting to feel that way.
Wow,
It's
yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah, there's definitely a sense that they're not just playing catch up this time, right? They're actually shaping the future of AI, like they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, and it's not just about attracting foreign investment either.
No.
Japan is they're working on like nurturing their own AI talent pool.
Smart.
Matsuo was talking about how major Japanese IT companies and startups are like really competing to develop their own large language models, you know, LLMs.
That's a really smart approach, actually, to focus on adding the Japanese language capabilities to like these open source models. It allows them to kind of like leapfrog that basic development phase, right? And target a market that everyone else is kind of overlooking. It's a very strategic move. It plays to their strengths.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
And the government is super involved too. They're launching initiatives to support you know, the development of these foundational models, and they're training a whole new generation of AI developers.
Wow, that's great.
Matsuo himself, he's teaching a course on LLMs at his university.
Oh, wow.
And last year, he had over 4,000 students.
4,000, that's huge.
It's a massive number.
Wow.
It shows you that there's this growing interest in AI, like among young people in Japan. They're realizing that, you know, this is the future and they want to be a part of it.
It's exciting.
It is really exciting. Matsuo even compares the current like enthusiasm, all this energy around AI in Japan to remember the iPhone frenzy back in Silicon Valley, like 2007.
I remember those lines, yeah.
But this time, Japan is not like 4 years behind, you know.
Right.
They're in the game right from the start.
It's a big shift in mindset, you know. Japan really seems to be embracing this whole transformative potential of AI in a way they just didn't with other, you know, digital trends like smartphones or the internet or social media. Like by the time Japan, you know, kind of caught on, it was over. The battle was over.
Totally.
But with AI, it seems like they're learning from those past mistakes, and they're really positioning themselves to be leaders this time.
Leaders, not followers.
Exactly.
Okay, so all this is great, but let's get down to brass tacks here.
Okay.
Like, how is all this AI excitement actually like playing out in the real world?
Right.
Well, Matsuo, he dives into some really interesting examples of AI applications that are already like impacting Japanese society.
Cool. Like what?
Well, one example that really stood out was the mayor of Yokosuka. He's using AI to translate his speeches into English.
Oh, wow.
And not just like in a robotic way.
Okay.
The AI actually animates his mouth to like match the English pronunciation.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty amazing to see. It shows you how AI can be used to like bridge those communication gaps, right? And make information more accessible across languages.
It's huge.
The implications for like international collaboration are massive.
Totally. Imagine a world where, like, language barriers are no longer a thing. Like, no more obstacles to communication and collaboration. AI could actually unlock this, like, new era of global interconnectedness.
It's pretty wild.
It really is.
And it's not just about making, you know, speeches accessible.
Right.
Matsuo also talked about this travel planning tool from Navitime.
Oh, yeah.
And it lets you plan your trips by like literally talking to an AI. Like, imagine you can just say, I want to go on a relaxing beach vacation next month.
Yeah.
And the AI just handles everything. There's
Really?
flights, hotels,
Wow.
even customized itineraries, like based on your preferences.
That's incredible.
It is pretty wild, right?
It shows you how AI can create these whole new experiences.
Right.
It's not just about like automating tasks, you know?
Right.
It's about making things possible that like we couldn't even think of before.
Totally.
It's about AI as like a partner in creating our ideal realities.
It is pretty mind-blowing to think about like the potential for AI to personalize our lives,
Yeah.
make things easier, more enjoyable.
Totally. And this is like just the tip of the iceberg, right? Like as AI continues to evolve, I mean, we're going to see even more creative and transformative applications across all aspects of our lives. I mean, it's just the beginning.
It's really exciting.
It really is.
But it's not all, you know, convenience and cool gadget. Matsuo also showed this system developed by Riken. It's a Japanese research institute, and it uses AI to analyze landslide data from like sensors and drones
Oh, wow.
to predict and assess the risk of landslides, like in real time.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's a really great example of how AI can be applied to like real world problems
Absolutely.
with, you know, potentially life-saving
Yeah,
consequences.
that's
Like,
cool.
being able to predict and respond to natural disasters
Hmm.
more effectively. I mean, it could save so many lives and property.
It really highlights the potential for AI to make a real positive impact on society.
Absolutely.
And not just with disaster response, right?
Right.
I mean, Masu envisions AI being used to solve all sorts of problems, from, improving healthcare
Yeah.
to tackling climate change.
Hold it.
This is where I think Japan's cultural emphasis on social harmony and collective well-being
Right.
could really shine, if
Yeah.
they can lead the way in developing AI for social good. I mean, that could have a profound impact on the whole world.
Totally. And Matsuo, he takes it a step further too.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about this concept of Japan's AI potential.
Okay.
And he uses a really clever visual to illustrate his point.
Okay.
He says, imagine a graph.
Okay.
One axis is GDP,
Okay.
and the other axis is the potential for digital transformation. So
Right.
the area of
Yeah.
the rectangle, right?
Yeah.
That represents the potential market size for AI.
I like that. It's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, and what's fascinating is while Japan's GDP might be smaller than, say, the US,
Yeah.
their potential for digital transformation is it's huge.
Oh, interesting.
So think about it, right?
Yeah.
You've got this country with like a really highly developed infrastructure, but they haven't fully embraced digital tools yet.
Right.
So it's like this massive opportunity for AI solutions that are tailored to, to their specific needs.
It's like discovering a hidden treasure chest or something.
Total.
So much potential just waiting to be unlocked.
Exactly. And this is where Matsuo brings up another area where he thinks Japan could really excel.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Robotic foundation models.
Robotic foundation models. Okay.
Think of them as like general purpose AI brains for robots,
Oh, wow.
right? So giving robots the ability to learn new tasks quickly, adapt to changing environments, and even solve problems in creative ways.
That's like taking robotics to a whole new level.
Absolutely. It's a whole new level of intelligence and sophistication.
Yeah.
And Matsuo believes that Japan, with their long and storied history in robotics, is they're perfectly positioned to lead in this area.
I mean, you've got companies like Afei and UC and Yaskawa, right?
Right.
Global leaders in industrial robotics.
Absolutely.
They've got the expertise, they've got the talent, they've got the infrastructure to really take those robotic foundation models from concept to reality.
Totally. It's a natural fit.
Yeah.
It's really exciting to think about the potential of this technology.
Yeah.
Like we could see robots doing all sorts of things that right now we can only dream of.
I know, it's crazy.
Like assisting in complex surgeries, exploring dangerous environments.
Yeah.
The possibilities are truly endless.
Yeah, it's like we're on the cusp of a new era,
Totally.
of human robot collaboration where machines aren't just tools anymore.
Right.
They're intelligent partners.
It's a pretty wild concept.
It really is.
But of course, it's not all, sunshine and robots.
Right.
Matsu acknowledges that there are, some risks associated with AI,
Sure.
and Japan is taking a very deliberate approach to managing those risks.
Okay, how so?
Well, he highlights the work of Japan's AI Strategy Council. They've been wrestling with all the legal and ethical considerations of AI. Their goal is to find a balance, to foster innovation,
Yeah.
while also addressing potential dangers.
It's a tough balancing act,
It
for
is.
sure.
It sounds like Japan is really trying to like think through all the implications of AI
Yeah.
and create a framework for responsible development. It seems like they're taking a much more cautious and considered approach
Yeah.
than we've seen in, say, Silicon Valley,
Right.
which is
It's a
interesting.
different philosophy for sure,
Yeah, yeah.
one that prioritizes harmony and long-term sustainability
Yeah.
over rapid growth and disruption.
Right.
It'll be really interesting to see how this approach plays out in the long run.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch. And this brings us to the Q&A session,
Okay.
where things get even more interesting. Yeah, so a journalist brings up this recent trend of, AI-powered scams,
Oh, right.
and asks about the council's decision to prioritize an AI-friendly approach
What?
over strict regulations.
Interesting.
And
Did
so,
yeah, this was this is a big point of of contention during those council deliberations. Yeah,
Right.
there was a lot of back and forth about whether to create like entirely new laws, right, specific to AI, or just adapt the existing legal frameworks.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
So what was Matsuo's take?
Yeah, what do you say?
Well, he argues that most AI-related crimes, like fraud, for example,
Right.
are already covered by, by existing laws.
Okay.
So instead of creating a whole new set of rules for AI,
Right.
he thinks the focus should be on monitoring how AI is being used
Okay.
and adapting those existing legal frameworks
That makes
to
sense.
address, emerging risks.
Yeah, that's a much more pragmatic approach, right? It reflects a deep understanding of just how quickly AI is evolving. So instead of trying to predict every single possible risk, and creating these rigid rules that could really stifle innovation, Japan is choosing to go with a more agile and adaptable regulatory framework.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's a very different approach than that whole move fast and break things mentality that we see in other parts of the world. It'll be interesting to see which approach ultimately is more effective in the long run.
Yeah, it's a fascinating experiment for sure.
Absolutely.
And another journalist raises this really important point about the limitations of current AI models,
Okay.
particularly the issue of outdated information. Like, for example, if you ask ChatGPT who the prime minister of Japan is,
Oh, right.
it wouldn't know
Yeah.
because its data only goes up to, a certain
It's
point.
only got so much information. Yeah, that's a crucial point about the need for those ongoing data updates and the importance of, of critical thinking when you're interacting with AI systems. We can't just blindly trust AI to give us accurate information. We need to be aware of the limitations and be able to critically evaluate the information it's giving us.
It's a good reminder that that AI is a tool.
Yeah.
And like any tool, it can be used effectively or ineffectively.
Go
We
on.
need to be, informed and discerning users.
Right. It's about understanding that AI is not a replacement for human intelligence. It's a complement to it. It's about finding ways to combine the strengths of both to
Absolutely.
achieve better outcomes,
That's for sure.
human and artificial intelligence working together.
Now, Matsuo, he offers a surprisingly optimistic take on this whole issue of, outdated information.
Oh, really?
He compares it to remember when calculators first came out?
Oh, yeah.
People were worried they would make us forget how to do mental
Yeah,
arithmetic.
right,
But we adapted. It's
yeah.
a compelling analogy.
Yeah, I like that.
Calculators didn't, destroy our ability to do math. They
Right.
just changed how we approached it.
Exactly.
And Matsuo believes that humans, especially children, growing up with AI, will adapt to the challenges and opportunities that AI presents.
Makes sense.
He sees it as this new form of literacy
Okay.
that's going to be essential for success in the 21st century.
Interesting perspective.
It
It
is.
suggests that AI might not just change the world around us, but also like how our brains work and how we think.
It's a fascinating concept to consider. Like,
Wow.
could AI actually make us smarter, more
Yeah.
adaptable, more creative?
It's certainly possible, but it requires us to rethink how we approach education and learning and to embrace those new ways of thinking and problem solving.
Absolutely. And a final question, focuses on the economic impact of AI. Matsuo believes that AI can have a positive impact on virtually every sector of the Japanese economy.
Oh, wow.
He sees it as a key to unlocking new value and driving growth across industries like manufacturing, finance, even food production.
That's amazing.
It is really amazing.
Yeah, it points to this broader theme of AI, not just as a technological innovation, but as a catalyst for this broader economic and societal transformation. It's about using AI to solve those big problems, to create new opportunities, to improve our lives in countless ways.
And it's a vision of a future where AI is like seamlessly integrated into every aspect of our lives, right?
Right.
Making things easier, more efficient,
And more fulfilling.
and more fulfilling.
But it's not just about, efficiency and productivity either. Matsuo also emphasizes the importance of using AI for social good, right? To address things like poverty and inequality and climate change. It's about using AI to create a better world for everyone,
Yeah.
not just for a select few.
For everyone.
That's
It's
right.
a powerful and inspiring vision,
It is.
and it's one that Japan seems to be taking very seriously.
It'll be fascinating to see how Japan's unique approach to AI development plays out in the coming years, you know.
Yeah.
If they can successfully balance that innovation with responsibility, I mean, they could really become a model for the rest of the world.
Absolutely. So after hearing all of this, what does it all mean for you? Well, Japan is clearly stepping up its game in the AI arena.
Yeah.
There are still some challenges to overcome, obviously,
Sure.
but they're embracing this unique approach that prioritizes both innovation and responsible development.
It's exciting.
It is.
And it raises this really crucial question. Could Japan's model of AI governance, with its focus on pragmatism and adaptability, could that become a blueprint for other nations, right?
Yeah.
That are trying to figure out how to navigate all the complexities of the AI age.
It's a big question.
It is a big question.
It's definitely something to think about as as you continue your own exploration of this exciting and rapidly evolving landscape.
For sure. It's a wild world out there.
It is.
It's changing so fast.
And that brings us to the end of part one of our deep dive into Japan's AI ambitions.
Okay.
We've covered a lot of ground, but there's still much more to explore. So stay tuned for part two,
Looking forward to it.
where we'll delve deeper into the challenges and opportunities facing Japan as it strives to become a global leader in the AI race.
Can't wait. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fascinating journey to follow.
For sure.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves here,
Yeah.
it's important to acknowledge that, even with all this potential, Japan still faces some hurdles in this quest to become an AI leader.
You're right, and Matsuo, he doesn't shy away from those challenges at all.
Okay, in fact, he brings up a few that are pretty crucial.
Like what?
Well, he talks about the need for more skilled AI professionals.
Okay.
Japan might have, a strong education system overall,
Right.
but it sounds like they're short on people with the specific expertise needed to actually develop and deploy AI systems, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a pretty common problem, actually, even in countries with, strong tech sectors.
Right.
The demand for AI talent is growing so
Yeah,
fast. It's tough to keep up. And it's not just about, having people who can code. It's
yeah.
about fostering a culture of innovation and entrepreneurship,
Yeah.
where people feel, empowered to experiment and take risks and
Right.
build these new AI-driven ventures.
Yeah, and in Japan's traditional culture of risk aversion
Yeah.
could be a bit of a roadblock there. That's true. But Matsuo, he seems to think that all this excitement around AI might be like shifting those cultural norms a little bit.
Interesting.
He mentioned that the government is putting a lot of effort into, training programs and initiatives to try to bridge that skills gap.
Okay.
But it's going to take a real collective effort, from
Yeah.
both the public and private sectors to really make a difference.
It's a big challenge.
Yeah, it is.
Another challenge he brings up is the whole issue of data.
Right.
AI algorithms need tons of data, obviously,
Yeah.
to learn and improve.
Of course.
But a lot of the data in Japan is still like locked away in separate organizations or government agencies.
Right. Yeah, that's another common problem pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Data is the fuel for AI.
Totally.
And if it's not accessible, I mean, it's like having a Ferrari with an empty gas tank, You're not
Totally.
going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere.
Matsuo talked about the need for open data initiatives and data sharing platforms so that researchers and developers can actually tap into a much larger pool of data.
Makes sense.
It does.
So if Japan can, if they can find ways to make their data more accessible and usable, obviously,
Yeah.
for AI development,
Right.
but while still protecting, privacy and security,
Of course, yeah.
that could give them a real competitive advantage.
Absolutely. It's a delicate balance,
Yeah.
but finding that sweet spot between data accessibility and data responsibility, it's essential.
It's really important.
Yeah.
And this is where the the whole conversation about Japan's approach to AI governance
Okay.
gets really interesting.
Okay.
Matsuo sees this as like a key differentiator, a potential advantage for Japan in this global AI race.
Now listen.
He contrasts Japan's approach with what we see in the U.S. and Europe.
Okay.
So in the U.S., it's very industry driven, focused on rapid innovation, sometimes at the expense of thoughtful regulation.
Right.
Europe, on the other hand, they tend to be much more cautious and regulation heavy, which, some people argue could stifle innovation.
Right.
So it seems like Japan is trying to chart a middle path here, finding that balance between fostering innovation and ensuring responsible development.
The tough needle to thread.
It is a tough needle to thread.
Yeah, but Matsuo argues that this usable approach could make Japan a magnet for international companies and investors who are looking for a stable and predictable regulatory environment, for AI development.
It's like they're saying, come to Japan, build your AI here, and we'll provide you with a framework that allows you to innovate responsibly.
It's a pretty compelling pitch.
It is a pretty compelling pitch, especially for companies that are wary of the more uncertain regulatory landscapes in other parts of the world.
Right, exactly. It'll be really fascinating to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Will Japan's approach actually attract more investment and talent, or will it end up being too restrictive for companies that are used to that move fast and break things kind of mentality?
Right.
It's a good question.
And actually, one of the journalists in the Q&A session, they brought up this very point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They asked Matsuo how Japan's focus on usability differs from what's happening in the U.S. and Europe, and whether he thinks it could actually give Japan a leg up in this AI race.
Okay, what'd he say?
It was his response was really interesting. He said one of the key differences is that Japan understands that AI is constantly evolving, and it's impossible to predict every single risk that might pop up.
Of course, yeah.
So instead of trying to create this this giant rule book that could become outdated really quickly.
Yeah.
Japan is focusing on building a system that can adapt and respond to new challenges as they emerge.
It's a much more agile and iterative approach.
Yeah.
They're not ignoring risks, right?
Right.
They're just acknowledging that it's impossible to anticipate everything.
Right.
So they're building a system that can learn and adapt as AI itself continues to evolve.
Yeah, it's kind of like the difference between building a fortress, and building this flexible, adaptable structure that can withstand, changing conditions.
Right, exactly. And Matsuo pointed out that this approach is actually very much in line with Japan's cultural values.
Okay.
Which tend to favor harmony and consensus building.
It's a really interesting approach. So instead of seeing regulation as this as this barrier to innovation, they're trying to create a regulatory framework that that actually supports and enables responsible AI development.
It's a fascinating experiment.
It is.
And the results could have some major implications for AI governance on a global scale.
Totally. And another journalist asked Matsuo a really interesting question about the role of culture in Japan's AI development.
Right.
They were curious about, why Japan had been kind of slower to adopt new digital technologies in the past.
Right.
And whether this, whether this could be a problem for their AI ambitions.
A good question.
It is. And Matsuo, he acknowledged that Japan has been a bit, behind the curve on digital transformation.
Okay.
He attributed this partly to to cultural factors, like a tendency towards risk aversion.
Oh, yeah.
A preference for, stability and predictability.
Right, qualities that have served them well in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But maybe not so much in the fast-paced world of tech.
Right. Sometimes those very qualities that make a society strong can also become liabilities when the world is changing so rapidly.
Totally.
But Matsuo also argued that these same cultural values could actually be a strength when it comes to to AI development.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, he pointed out that Japan has this long tradition of craftsmanship
Right.
and attention to detail, and that could be incredibly valuable in developing, high quality, reliable AI systems.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you think about the meticulousness and the precision of Japanese engineering and manufacturing.
Right.
Those qualities could definitely translate to AI development.
Absolutely. And he also emphasized the importance of, ethical considerations in AI development, which aligns with Japan's cultural emphasis on harmony and social responsibility.
Right. So while those cultural factors might have initially, slowed down Japan's adoption of digital technologies,
Right.
they could also end up playing this really positive role
Right.
in shaping their approach to AI,
Yeah.
leading to a more thoughtful and ethical development path.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that culture is not, it's not a static thing. It evolves and adapts, and it can influence how societies respond to technological change in really unexpected ways.
Speaking of cultural influence, let's talk about that Q&A discussion on the potential economic impact of AI. I mean, this is always a hot topic, right? Lots of anxiety around job displacement and economic upheaval.
Totally. A journalist from the Financial Times asked Matsuo about the potential for AI to create new jobs and industries in Japan, as well as the potential for job displacement.
Right, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
What's the impact of AI going to be on our jobs and our livelihoods?
Right. And Matsuo's response was it was pretty nuanced.
Okay.
He acknowledged that AI has the potential to automate certain tasks and jobs, which could lead to, some job losses in some sectors.
Right.
But he also emphasized that AI is likely to create new jobs and industries,
Okay.
particularly in areas like AI development and data analytics and AI-related
Yeah,
service
it's like
lines.
that classic example of the automobile, right?
Yeah.
Put a lot of blacksmiths out of work,
Right.
but it also created a whole new industry
Exactly.
around, car manufacturing and repair and sales.
Yeah, Matsuo pointed out that the same thing happened with the smartphone
Oh,
revolution,
of course.
which created, countless new businesses and job opportunities that didn't exist before.
Right, so it's not just about jobs disappearing,
Yeah.
right? It's about jobs changing, new jobs emerging,
Yeah.
and the need for workers to adapt and acquire new skills.
Absolutely. He stressed the importance of investing in education and training to
Right.
prepare the workforce for the changes that AI is likely to bring.
Yeah.
And not just technical skills, but skills like critical thinking, problem solving, creativity.
Right, the things that are harder to automate.
Exactly, the things
Right.
that are less likely to be automated.
Yeah, it's about focusing on those skills that make us uniquely human, right?
Here?
The
Yeah.
things that AI can't replicate.
Totally. And he also highlighted the role of government in supporting workers who might be displaced by AI through things like retraining programs and social safety nets.
Right, it's about making sure that the benefits of AI are shared broadly
Yeah.
and that no one is left behind in this transition to an AI-powered economy.
It's a crucial point. AI has the potential to create a more prosperous and equitable future,
Yeah.
but only if we actively manage the transition
Right.
and make sure that everyone has the opportunity to participate and benefit.
Absolutely.
Now, there was one more question from the Q&A that I thought was particularly thought-provoking.
Yeah.
It was about the role of education
Okay.
in preparing the next generation for an AI-powered world.
Right. That's a crucial issue. We need to be thinking about how to equip young people with the knowledge and skills they'll need to navigate a world that's,
Yeah.
going to be increasingly shaped by AI.
Totally. The journalist asked Matsuo how he thinks education systems should adapt to prepare students for this future.
Okay.
And his response was fascinating.
What'd he say?
He said that the traditional methods of, rote learning and memorization
Yeah.
are becoming increasingly irrelevant.
Oh, interesting.
In an age where AI can, access and process information far more efficiently than humans.
It makes sense. Why spend years, memorizing facts and figures when you
Yeah.
can just have an AI assistant do that for you
Right.
in a fraction of a second?
Exactly. So Matsuo believes that that education should focus on developing higher order thinking skills,
okay,
like critical thinking, problem solving, creativity, collaboration.
Right.
These are the skills that are going to be most valuable in a world where you know, where AI is handling a lot of the routine tasks.
It's about nurturing those human skills that AI just can't replicate, you know,
right,
the things that make us unique and adaptable.
Yeah, and he also stressed the importance of teaching students about AI itself,
okay,
how it works, its capabilities, its limitations, its potential ethical implications.
It's about empowering young people to become informed and responsible users of AI,
right?
Not just passive consumers.
Thanks.
of AI-driven products and services.
They need to understand this this technology that's going to have such a profound impact on their lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
He believes that education has this this critical role to play in shaping the future of AI by fostering a generation of citizens who are both knowledgeable about AI and committed to using it for good.
Right.
We can ensure that that AI is a force for positive change in the world.
It's a powerful vision, you
know?
Yeah,
it is.
It's about seeing AI not just as a technological tool, but as a real catalyst for human progress,
yeah,
and societal transformation.
Matsu's insights provide a really valuable roadmap, I think,
yeah,
for navigating the complexities of the AI age.
For sure.
They offer this balanced perspective that acknowledges both the opportunities and the challenges that AI presents.
Right.
And they emphasize the importance of, you know, approaching AI development with both a sense of wonder and a sense of responsibility.
It's a call to action for all of us, you know,
yeah,
to get involved in this conversation,
yeah,
to ask questions, to challenge assumptions,
right,
and to work together to shape this future of AI,
yeah,
in a way that is beneficial and just for everyone.
Absolutely. Well said.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up part two.
It's good.
Of our deep dive into Japan's AI ambitions.
All right.
Stay tuned for part three,
yeah,
where we're going to explore some of the more philosophical and ethical questions surrounding AI.
Yeah.
And we'll hear Matsuo's vision for the future of this transformative technology.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. All right, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Japan's AI scene.
Okay.
We've seen the potential, the challenges, Japan's you know, unique approach to governance.
Right.
Now let's get into some of those like bigger picture questions that that Matsuo tackles. He really dives into the global landscape, which is it's heating up pretty quickly.
It is.
And he makes this really interesting point that the AI race isn't just about like which country develops the most advanced technology.
Yeah.
It's also about which country establishes the dominant model for AI governance.
So it's a competition on multiple levels.
Totally, like technological and philosophical.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Matsuo, he contrasts the you know, the US approach, which he sees as very industry driven, prioritizing rapid innovation,
right,
with Europe's approach, which is much more cautious, regulation heavy.
Yeah.
So he kind of positions Japan somewhere in between,
yeah,
trying to find that sweet spot where innovation can flourish,
mm-hmm,
but without sacrificing, you know, responsibility and ethical consideration.
Right. It's like they're trying to forge this third way,
yeah,
a model of AI development that could appeal to countries that are kind of wary of both.
Right. Right?
The unfettered capitalism of Silicon Valley and the potentially stifling bureaucracy of European regulation.
It's a tough balance to strike.
It is.
And this middle path might actually be a strategic advantage for Japan.
Okay.
Matsuo believes that it could make Japan a much more attractive destination for AI development, you know?
Yeah.
Attracting investment and talent from all over the world.
It's a compelling argument. Companies are looking for stability and predictability.
Right.
And Japan's approach, with its emphasis on, you know, harmony and long-term thinking, could be really appealing.
It's a gamble, though, right?
Yeah.
Can they move fast enough to keep up with the breakneck pace of AI development in other parts of the world,
like,
while still you know, maintaining their commitment to responsible development?
But the big question.
It is. Only time will tell.
Exactly.
But Matsuo also makes this point that I found really encouraging.
Oh, yeah.
He says that the AI race isn't, you know, isn't a zero-sum game.
Okay.
He believes there's room for many different countries to contribute and collaborate in the development of AI.
That's a really refreshing perspective.
It is.
He sees that diversity of approaches and perspectives as being like essential
yeah.
to making sure that AI benefits all of humanity,
right?
Not just, you know, a select few.
It's a good reminder that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And that global cooperation is going to be absolutely crucial in navigating the challenges and opportunities of the AI age.
Totally. We need to be, you know, sharing knowledge,
mm-hmm.
collaborating on research,
yeah.
working together to establish those ethical guidelines and standards for AI development.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The stakes are way too high for countries to be, you know, going it alone.
Right.
We need to be working together to ensure that AI is a force for good in the world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that brings us to one of the most, I don't know, fascinating and perhaps unsettling topics in AI.
Oh, yeah.
The potential for AI to surpass human intelligence.
Right, right.
This idea of artificial general intelligence or AGI.
AGI.
Yeah. It's something that it captures the imagination, right?
Yeah.
It sparks a lot of debate.
It's like the stuff of science fiction, you know?
It is, yeah.
Machines that can think and learn and reason just like humans.
Yeah.
Or even better.
Or even better, yeah.
But it's a possibility that we need to, that we need to take seriously.
We do. And a journalist from Wired actually asked Matsuo about his views on AGI.
Okay.
And whether he thinks it's, something we should be worried about.
And what do you say?
Well, his response was really interesting.
Yeah.
He acknowledged that, that AGI is a possibility.
Yeah.
But he doesn't think it's imminent. He pointed out that that current AI systems are still very narrow in their capabilities.
Yeah.
They can do, you know, specific tasks very well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're nowhere near being able to, like, match the general intelligence and adaptability of humans.
Right. So we're not quite at that that Skynet taking over the world point yet.
Yeah, not yet. But Matsuo did say that it's important to start thinking about the implications of AGI, like, now.
Okay.
So that we're prepared for the possibility, however distant it may be.
It's like planning for a future that we can't really fully predict yet.
Exactly.
We need to be thinking about the ethical implications, the potential risks.
Right.
The safeguards we might need to put in place to make sure that AGI is developed and used responsibly.
It's a daunting task, but it's one that that we can't afford to ignore.
Right. The potential consequences of getting AGI wrong are just too great.
Absolutely. So taking a step back from the mind-bending possibilities of AGI.
What are some of the key takeaways from Matsuo's presentation?
Yeah, good question.
Like, what should our listeners be paying attention to as they follow Japan's journey in this AI race?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is that Japan is a serious contender in this AI arena. You know,
yeah,
they're approaching AI development in this unique and potentially very effective way.
Mm.
They're not just trying to replicate what's being done elsewhere.
Right.
They're forging their own path,
yeah.
one that really leverages their strengths,
right.
and aligns with their cultural values.
And their emphasis on responsible development, that's really something that sets them apart, I think.
Totally. They're not just focused on technological progress.
Right.
They're also thinking about the societal and ethical implications of AI.
Mm.
That's something that I find really encouraging. It is encouraging, absolutely. And it's something that the rest of the world can learn from as AI becomes increasingly powerful and pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's crucial that we develop it in a way that benefits all of humanity, not
yeah.
just a select few.
For sure. Matsuo's presentation, it really gives us a lot to think about.
It does. It does.
It's a reminder that the AI revolution is not just about, you know, the technology.
Okay.
It's about people. It's about values.
Mm.
It's about the kind of future that we want to create.
It's a call to action for all of us, right? To get involved, to ask questions, to challenge assumptions, and to work together to shape the future of AI
Work
in
out.
a way that is beneficial and just.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been a fascinating deep dive.
It has. It
And
has.
I think we've only scratched the surface of what's happening in Japan and beyond. But hopefully this has given you a better understanding of, Japan's ambitions, their unique approach, and the global implications of their journey.
For sure.
So keep an eye on Japan
Yeah.
because they might just surprise the world.
And keep your minds open because the AI revolution is it's only just beginning.
That's right.
The future is it's unfolding right before our eyes, and it's up to all of us to shape it in a way
Yeah.
that benefits all of humanity.
Well said. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back soon with another exploration of a topic that's shaping our world. So until then, stay curious.
Have